This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, good morning. Here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home in this beautiful day. It's good that it's a little bit cold, but not raining anymore. So here is Alina. I'm originally from Romania, and I have with me the co-host, Clara, from Spain. And we have also Amna from Pakistan today. Thank you so much for joining us, Amna. I know it's your first time, but I'm sure you will do great.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have today our guest, Anders from Norway. Good morning, Anders. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, no worries. Always happy to have new guests and meet people from different parts of the world. And I will present a little bit Anders. He is originally from outside Oslo, Norway. And I met Anders a few months or weeks ago. He was helping us with the windows. So now we are so happy to have double glazing. And this is grateful for Anders. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And yeah, as you said, we did your bedroom, yes, and office windows.
Yeah,
through my company, would have been 2 months ago now, and
2 months, yeah.
Yeah, and we're looking back at,
yes,
getting you guys back later. So
wonderful. And to say a little bit about Andres, he started as a surf. What he wrote here as a surf trip to Indonesia turned into 6+ years building in Australia, before making New Zealand his home in 2018. And now from life in a van to building his own tiny house in Raglan and now running his own business, Window Reno, in Taranaki. And Anders brings a lot of creativity, hands-on approach to life and leadership. And I can confirm that because I know that my kids are sleeping now in a very warm house because of Anders' windows. So happy that you are here, and thank you so much for taking this invitation for coming today. Yeah,
thank you for having me and let me tell my story, really.
Beautiful.
And yeah, excited to share with you guys what I've been up to and how I ended up in New Plymouth.
Yeah, and yeah, you said that you are here in New Zealand from 2018, right?
Yep, that's correct. So
what made you come here?
Basically, I couldn't get a visa in Australia. I was struggling to get a visa there, and after trying for a long time and different visas and back and forward, I was getting a bit tired of having my life on hold, like that uncertainty that comes with a visa that's not permanent. And then I figured I'll just give New Zealand a go. Mm. So I came here as a backpacker on a tourist visa. I did the typical thing and bought myself a van and cruised around for, I think, the best part of seven, eight months, both islands. And yeah, just loved it. But you know, you can't, a bit early to retire, so had to go back to work. And yeah, I ended up in Raglan, where I got an opportunity to get a sponsorship with a local company up in Raglan, and yeah, was there for the best part of 4 years.
Wow, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Raglan. Yeah. I think I will enjoy living there.
Yes, it's a nice place. I've never been there, but I hear amazing people that they say.
Yeah, I like going there like at least once a year.
We go up quite often. And yeah, it's quite cool. Like, it's got its own little international kind of vibe to it, you know, being a little surf town. It gets a lot of people from pretty much all over the world that come in and make the make the players quite special. So,
Do you surf?
Not anymore. Okay. I used to quite a bit, and now I'm into other water sports instead. Do a lot of fishing, diving, and stuff like this. So,
What made you move to New Plymouth?
Basically, we wanted a bit more opportunities. We wanted a bit of a bigger place without being a city. Like, we're not necessarily city people, but we would like to just have more stuff going on than especially what Rugglin can offer in the middle of winter, for example. It gets a bit small.
That's how literally, those are the options.
Literally. So yeah, we decided to come down to New Plymouth, and we knew quite a few people down here already, and we've been down here on holiday quite a few times, and yeah, it just felt like a natural place to move to.
Nice. And it's, so you said you came here with your partner at the moment, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yes. Nice. And where did you guys meet?
So we met in Rugglin. Yeah. Nice. So she's from Slovenia. So that obviously makes another trip when we go to Europe.
You have to go visit two places.
Yeah. That's all good. It's all going the way it should, yeah?
Yes. Slovenia is a nice country.
Slovenia is beautiful, yeah.
Have you been there with her?
Yeah, I've been there twice now, and yeah, it's actually a really amazing country.
Wow, amazing.
Mm. I haven't been. I have been to Norway, but a few years ago when I was living in Spain.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Oslo.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yep.
So how is Oslo? Because I hear a lot of people talking about Oslo. I've never been there. Is it very cold, like they say, or it's?
Depends on the time of the year.
I went in summer and it was okay.
Yeah, summer is beautiful, and you have really long light hours as well. Like, the sun only goes down quite late in the evenings, and it's just really nice place to be. So.
Yeah, I think that's what I remember like the most, that it was dark at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do I remember what?
Yeah, yeah, that's correct.
So it was just like amazing to have so many hours of daylight. Yeah.
And you have like the daylight in the summer, it's like long, but how is in the winter?
The opposite. So, you know, you only get a few hours of light during the day, if it's not clouded or rainy or snowy or something like this, you know, so it can be quite dark and
so when
miserable.
you wake up at 6 o'clock in the winter, it's dark, right? When is it?
Yeah.
When the sun is starting to? What time?
It sort of goes from a sunrise into a sunset, if that makes sense. So it doesn't go up and down.
Okay. Oh, really?
So it's like, yeah, so you get a few hours, don't get me wrong, but it's not like a good sunny day like it is today, for example. That's quite rare.
Wow. So it's like most of the day it's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, especially November, December, January, and then coming into like Easter and stuff, then it starts getting beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because you obviously have the snow, and the snow kind of reflects the sun a little bit, so then everything is white again. When it's white,
so
it's
like
beautiful again, you know. But especially that November, December, where it's just really cold and not necessarily snow on the ground, so it sort of sucks that light. Then it's not the best place to be. Especially if you're working outside.
So is the weather there opposite to how New Plymouth is? Like, we have winters here. So in August, what is the weather like in Norway?
Now it's pretty good. It's late summer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So now it's beautiful.
So winter basically starts from November onwards.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Late September, November, yeah. So.
And when did you left Norway? Like, how old were you?
I was 20 years old when I left, and I went on a was supposed to be just a surf trip with my friend Thomas to Indonesia, and then And we stayed there for quite a few months, and then he actually had a medical emergency where he broke like a tendon in his leg, so he had to go home. And then after that, I stayed in Indonesia for a little bit longer, and then I met some guys. Actually, one of them from New Plymouth, but they lived in Australia. So I went over there, and I haven't really moved back to Norway since.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's
wow.
12 years ago.
Wow. 12
that's
years.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, started just as a tweet.
Yeah, literally.
And then you moved out.
Yeah.
And that guy from New Plymouth, are you still in contact with him? Or?
A little bit now and then,
yes.
Yeah.
Is he still living in Australia?
He's still
here?
Living in Australia, okay. Yeah. So all packs, he's still in Australia. Mm. Yeah.
And what are the difference? So because you said, you know, obviously the weather, it's quite different, right, in New Zealand from Norway. How is other stuff, like the culture and the way people are? Is there any similarities or differences between Norway and New Zealand as a culture?
Yeah, I think there's definitely similarities and there's definitely differences.
Yeah.
So that way. But it's I think people here are more relaxed and friendly than, not saying that Norwegians aren't friendly. Just say, they're...
So it's a Nordic country, right?
Yeah.
So we know, I mean, I know a German, so I know how it is.
And here people just seem quite content with what they have and how they live and sort of the more crazy lifestyle to it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and because recently I just met some Romanians who were living in Norway and they wanted to see what is the best place for their kids, either Norway or New Zealand. And they were very fascinated about New Zealand and they live now in Norway. But after a while coming here just for traveling, they were still choosing Norway and they say it's the best place for kids to raise kids. I understood the system there, raising kids is much better. I don't know how you felt that. Is it like that or, yeah?
I mean, I can only speak, I don't have any children, so I can only speak as when I was a kid and going through school, you know? I think school there was quite good. I have dyslexia, so it's like school for me wasn't necessarily my favorite part, but that's my experience. I mean, everyone there seems to be getting quite a good education, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how was that for you to navigate all the challenges? I mean, having dyslexia, I imagine, was quite challenging to...
Yes.
You were playing more, you were allowed to play more, or...?
Basically, like, they signed me up to some kind of... experiments where I used to go to this let's call it a doctor and they were trying to study and see what actually works better because it was early days, you know, like this was many years ago, so they were trying to like give me different off paper with different colors to read, for example, so like a black paper with green lettering
to see if something will help you better.
And then so it was a bunch of stuff like this. I got a computer really, really early, like one of those big fat ones, you know.
old school
ones, yeah.
So you were the lucky one to get the first computer in
exactly that was literally to try to then teach me spelling programs and stuff like this, so like and this is things that I don't, I was lucky to get.
Yeah, but support, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I always just want to be a builder. So
since you were a kid.
Since I was literally a kid.
Were you already building like small things when you were younger?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what?
Like anything. Okay. I had so many projects. Jesus, how many projects I always...
Oh, what was your first project that you remember when you were a little kid?
Good question. A lot of go-karts and stuff like this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. cabins, go-karts, motorcycles, was big into motorcycles at some stage. So I was always just good with my hands, just making things, building things. At some stage, I kind of wanted to be a mechanic, but then I spoke to my uncle and he's like, well, if you like cars and you like motorbikes, don't be a mechanic because that will just turn into a job.
Instead of a hobby.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just having it as a hobby. Yeah. But I always wanted to build. I think my family was renovating a house when I was growing up, and my dad is very hands-on. So I think when growing up, you sort of just got introduced to that bit of how things are. And since I was about 6 years old, I wanted to build, so still building.
Nice.
Yeah. And now making homes warmer, which I guess is very important here in New Zealand.
Definitely.
Was there, because you said from Norway you were going to Indonesia, right?
Yep.
Did you do also there some buildings?
Nah.
What was your main?
Main thing there was surfing.
Surfing?
Yeah. Yeah, so we were traveling around and, just surfing and having a good time, really. And I finished my apprenticeship in Norway and I managed to save a little bit of money. And obviously the exchange rate was quite good. We just cruised. But when I got to Australia, then it was time to find some work again.
And how is Indonesia? I've never been there. I mean, I was in Bali. Is it any difference? I mean, I imagine it's difference between Norway and Indonesia. What did you like the most there?
I mean, it's so long time ago. It was just a whole new experience because I've been traveling a little bit in Europe, but not much at that stage in my life. I was only 20 years old, you know, so it was just the whole experience of going somewhere new and meeting people from all over the world, because like Norway is not necessarily the most international community, especially in suburbia of Oslo. It was just the whole experience of just meeting new people, new cultural experiences, and just surfing and having a good time.
Yeah. Did you have the chance to visit different islands, or were you mainly in Bali?
We went to quite a few islands. We went to Bali, obviously, and then Gili, Trawangan, and Lombok. And then we were going to go over to Sumatra because this guy that we sort of met, he had a surf camp out there. That's where my friend broke his tendon thing, and and he had to go back to Bali, and then we sort of had to take him over there, and then I sort of stayed there for a little while. And I had very, very limited English back then, so I couldn't really communicate too confidently.
Well, like from my experience in Bali, people there are very, very friendly.
Yeah.
And if you learn like a few words of Indonesian, like even if it's just like thank you or good morning, they will value that a lot.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I still remember sitting at the beach in Kuta and looking at the airplane that I knew he was on, and then thinking like, okay, when now it's time to learn English. Because otherwise you just be quiet all the time. Mm. So
so how did you do that to learn English in Indonesia?
I just
started, online or
I just started picking it up, and as your confidence sort of grow, and you just force yourself to speak it, right? Because as I said, like I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of school. So I didn't pay too much attention back then. So I never really had any plans of traveling or going any places. So like I was basically failing my English grade. My English was quite limited.
From the sound of it, doesn't look like it that you've just recently learned. You're pretty good at it. So when you moved to, like when you traveled to Indonesia, did you think of going back to Norway, or was it all along a plan that, okay, now we're going to Indonesia and then I'll see, I'll take a chance and I might end up somewhere? Was it like that throughout, or it was just coincidence that I
just wanted? Just a coincidence. Yeah, it was literally, I always had a plan to go back to Norway. That was the whole thing. We were just going to go there for a little while and then come home to Norway. But I think once I sort of started traveling and experiencing the rest of the world, I sort of figured out I'm not ready yet. And
yeah, and I think the taste, you know, sometimes when you, I remember my first trip in America, and it was my first time with a plane, and I loved it so much, and I didn't want to stop, you know. So I think it's that taste that you have.
Yeah, when you have that dose of like discovering new places, meeting new people, and not having like a routine. It's like everything is new, or there's something new every day.
Yeah.
It's kind of addicting, I think.
Yes, I think it
definitely
is.
Definitely.
I think at times we struggle taking chances. We get so scared that we often question ourselves whether we should do it, whether we should not do it. But I always think, since I moved here to New Plymouth, I moved here 3 years ago, but I think taking chances is a good way to learning about yourself as well, and getting to know more things too. Like, you know how you're scared that, do I do it now? Should I not do it? But I think what you did is such a big leap of faith. And so, do you have any regrets?
Good question.
not really, because every decision I have made so far have gotten me to this point, and I'm pretty happy with my life. So I can't say I have too many regrets too.
And tell us a little bit more, because obviously when you talk about working with your hands, it feels like you have a lot of passion for that. Is there anyone in your family who is working with their hands, or how did you find this passion for building?
So my dad is a very, very hands-on guy. He's definitely not a builder by any means. but yeah, he's a very hands-on guy. He's always been a hands-on guy. And we always had like a place you can work. So like a garage or a shed, or, you know, somewhere with some tools, you know. So I always had that opportunity to to work. And yeah, I never been into any video games, anything like that.
Amazing.
So I just always just I worked with my hands, and that was sort of just what I've been doing my whole life. Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
So you mentioned that in Bragland you built a tiny house.
Yep.
And you were living there, or it was for someone else?
No. So I
for
lived
you?
Yep. So I was gonna rent a place, but it was really, really hard to find a place to rent. And then I found a place and it was really expensive. And then I was also going through like a sponsorship with work. So they didn't want to pay me a lot of money. So I had a limited income and a really high rent. And yeah, then they sort of called up and they went, oh, it's not available anymore. And then it was just like when tiny houses sort of started to become a thing in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, and then a couple of weeks before, I was just having some beers with some friends, and we found this trailer that was available. I'm in Taupo, and I had the van and I didn't have any places to build it. And then the apprentice at the company that I worked, he's like, oh, I got a wool shed. You can just build it in there. I get there, it's like a huge wool shed. They used to have excavators and stuff, so it was like really tall ceilings.
Wow, amazing.
And obviously room for a tiny house. So we built the whole thing in there in 3 months while I lived in the van. So I had to work first 40 hours because that was one of the visa conditions. So I had to work 40 hours for this builder in Raglan, and then after work hours for 3 months, it was just building the tiny house, you know. And when you live in a van and shower under a garden tap in the wool shed, you're pretty motivated to to get in.
If you want the space, yeah. A little bit bigger than a van.
A little bit bigger
even
than
if
a van.
It's a tiny house, yeah. It will be a really nice upgrade.
Yeah, definitely. And it all just worked out really, really well. We found a really, really cool spot for it up in 5 minutes drive out of town. They had it was 12 acres on this guy's land. 12 acres bordering into the harbor, and just an amazing spot. And
nice. Then, how was the feeling when it was finished?
Oh, it was good. It was really, really good, yeah. I remember as soon as we had a building wrap on, I was like,
yes,
it's done. It's done, it's finished. And then it was definitely not finished, but when we got it to the piece of land, literally COVID happened just a few weeks afterwards, which was perfect because
wow,
I just panic shopped materials the day before lockdown. And then I had all this time to finish it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what's happening with the tiny house now?
Sold it.
Did you sold it?
Yeah, sold it to buy a slightly bigger one. But now we miss our tiny house and we're thinking about building another one instead. Yeah.
Do you think about building tiny houses for people, or is just your business, it's mainly the windows?
Yeah, so our business is restoration and upgrades on windows, timber windows specifically, and that's sort of where we wanna take it, where we wanna grow, and into that market, because it's so many people building tiny houses already. And people are doing an amazing job with that already. There is no one doing timber windows, really, especially restoration of timber windows. So that's sort of where we want to take our...
Yeah, nice.
And how do you...
Yeah, it's the same question I had.
I think we might have the same question because coming from Europe, especially in Spain, most of the houses there, no matter where you live or if it's high class, lower class or different, most of them, they have double glaze or good windows. And one of the things that I noticed when I came to New Zealand, when I was living in Auckland and Wellington, it was horrible in winter. It was so humid. It was a shock for me that there's many, many houses here in New Zealand with windows that are not well insulated. And it's cold.
It's really cold, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you have the same question, Alina. Yeah. How did you come up with the business idea? It was because you saw there was a market, or...
I bought a house with timber windows.
And then you were cold.
It was cold.
Simple answer, right?
Yeah. And I found it quite funny because I would say about 50% of our clients are foreigners because they're not putting up with it.
Yes.
Well, the Kiwis seem to just be a bit more hardcore in that way and just go, no, you just put on some mugs and put down a layer of carpet and you'd be sweet, which is most of our clients as foreigners, they go, nah, get some new glass and some seals on these windows and get them sorted. So
because there's no point if you have windows that are just leaking all the warmth. You can put all the heat in on the heat pump maximum, and then the heat is going, no point.
And you can feel the wind, right? For us,
oh, definitely.
We are looking forward to have Anders because in the kitchen, because of the big heavy rain, it's now raining inside.
Yep.
Yes, I mean it's not raining, really raining, but it's leaking. And as you said, for us Europeans, it's so important to be warm because I think we struggle with so much cold in, especially for us in Romania in winter, it's so cold. Mm. Same in Norway, I imagine, with snow and everything. So you want to keep the heating inside.
Most definitely. And yeah, like even if it's 20 minus outside, you can still be in t-shirt inside your house, you know, and that's sort of how houses are there. Like, don't get me wrong, the whole building code is completely different. And in New Zealand, you don't necessarily need to make a house as good as you would in Northern Europe. But yeah, it's definitely room for improvement on these old villas around the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, for us, we bought a house which is from concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So there are not so many houses in New Zealand with concrete. Yeah, and we really like it because it keeps us warm, I feel. I don't know. but the wooden houses here, it's really cold, right? And once you have the heating on, it will stay, but not for long.
Yeah, you shut the heater off and then 5 minutes later it's cold again.
It's cold, right? Yeah. And we feel in our house that we shut the heater off, but we don't have to start it in the night because it's still warm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Get that thermal.
Yeah, maybe the windows.
Yeah, get the thermal mass off the concrete as well. Obviously helps to retain.
Yes. And like for you, how are the houses in Norway now that we're discussing about that? Is it different? Like, are they made also from wood like here?
Yeah, most of them are wood.
Yeah.
It's just a natural building material to use over there. Like, you still get brick houses and everything else. They're obviously extremely well insulated.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of passive houses. It's 13 years since I built there, so I'm not 100% sure if it went that way or not, really, mm-hmm. with the codes and how they build. But yeah, definitely extremely well insulated and quite more airtight, if you will, because you have problems with condensation and stuff like this if you have really large temperature differences outside and inside. And stuff like that. So,
and how is the heating? Is it through gas or
no? It's electrical.
Electricity.
Or heat pumps. A lot of heat pumps. Or electricity. Not so much gas. I'm not sure why, but I think maybe it's that you can't run it in the ground when it's that cold.
Yeah, because of the temperature. Another thing that I remember from my trip there was not in the city, but in the countryside, when we were traveling around, some of the houses, they had like grass on the roof and some plants on the roof.
Oh, did they?
And that's something that you don't see in other places. So I really love that. It looked so, so cute because it's like a garden, but like on the roof of the house.
So you have like these flat roofs or?
No, like normal roofs,
Normal pitched roofs. And then, so this is like a very traditional thing to do on your cabins and stuff like this. We have a cabin up in the mountains that has
a
grass roof as well. It? Yeah.
In here or in Norway?
In Norway, yeah.
Amazing.
I remember that when I was traveling there.
And are you planning to do this here also, or doesn't work with the roofs here?
I'm not sure. I think I get some weird looks if I if I do that.
Something new, right?
Yeah, something new. Yeah, maybe on a little cabin somewhere, but not necessarily on the.
Maybe who knows? After this radio show, you will have some.
Some requests.
Now that you are saying, because we want to change our roofs, maybe we can do some flowers there, right?
Perfect. Just don't clean your gutters for a while, and it will grow naturally. Yeah.
Because I imagine it's a lot of maintenance, right, to go on the roof.
No, there's almost no maintenance to it.
So it's how do you do it? Like,
So you make the traditional normal roof, obviously. Okay. Like, it's made so it can handle a lot more weight, which you have to do anyway because it's snow loads and all that kind of stuff to take account for. And then basically, so you make a normal roof, do you put the drainage underneath, and then you put like a, I'm not sure what the English word, but it's like a bog, like the moth that grows in a swamp. if that makes sense. Like that kind of bog. Okay. Yeah. So you put that up on the roof, and then you just plant it out with grass seeds, and it will act as a really well insulation kind of.
So for insulation mm-hmm. purposes.
Yeah.
To keep it warmer.
Yep.
Amazing.
And at the same time, very beautiful.
And it's beautiful, and it's traditional, and you'll keep it warmer. Yep.
Wow, interesting. Amazing. I've never heard that, so thank you for bringing
it
up.
I didn't know it will keep it warmer. I didn't know that was like another thing.
Well, it makes sense. You got another...
another layer.
Another layer, right? Mm. And a pretty good layer too, so yeah.
Wow. Do you think something like that could work here in New Zealand? Considering the temperature and the climate here.
I don't think it's necessary. Like it's I don't think that we would do it if it wasn't for the tradition of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this was a tradition before they had insulation. You know,
right.
So now you just put a couple of layers of pink beds up in there instead and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the Kiwi way too, I feel. That's like
don't worry about it, yeah.
Don't worry about it, it'll be all right. And yeah, do the quickest and easiest way of accomplishing it.
So interesting, yeah?
Yeah, and something we normally ask people when they are from different countries is about the food.
Mm-hmm.
How was the food in Norway? And what is the thing that you miss the most, that you cannot get it here?
When I grew up, like my whole family, we big into hunting. And we have, we always had just had like three chest freezers full of hunted meat. So that's sort of what I miss the most. And that is quite traditional Norwegian food in itself. Like that's something that I'm just now starting to get into in New Zealand, just so I can sort of preserve
that tradition
and those memories and that kind of food. So yeah.
Do you cook as well?
Yeah.
And are you a good cook? do you know your traditional dishes, like Norwegian dishes?
Not necessarily like the most traditional ones, but I feel like I can cook good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the most traditional dish?
Probably like either meatballs or like salmon, stuff like this. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of seafood, a lot of wild game.
Seafood. I love seafood.
Definitely.
Yeah, but yeah. I think here we don't have so much variety of seafood like in Europe, or
no.
Is the same for Norway or?
Definitely a lot more variety there, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm big into fishing and diving and stuff like this. So
you go fishing.
So I go fishing or diving, yeah. So then I sort of
you find a fish.
Yeah,
here.
Find what I need. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So then you go fishing and you go hunting. You don't need to go to the supermarket.
No, exactly. my girlfriend.
Do you have a garden?
I have a garden. My
with veggies.
Yeah, my girlfriend is a gardener, so care of that one. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
A good combination.
Yeah.
Definitely.
To eat well.
Definitely.
And fresh.
Yeah. Nah. So we eat quite well in our household.
So I think both of you are really creative. So do you guys sort of exchange ideas at times? Like if she's a good gardener and she's doing something in the garden and she has plants, do you give some input that, okay, you can do this a certain way and this would work out? Like, do you exchange your creative ideas with each other?
Oh,
like
definitely.
You like to build and...
Yeah,
yeah
definitely. Yeah. Like she sort of says how she wants it and I build it, and then it's a few clashes here and then naturally, you know, like we renovating a big house and you know got all sorts of things going on in the gardens and the house and everything else, so yeah, no, it's we're a good team, so yeah, definitely.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm still thinking about those roofs, you know.
Alina wants one.
Yeah.
Do they have a name? Like, what's the name of?
Torv.
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 Torv
Tak.
Torv
Tak. Yeah.
Alina wants one.
Yeah, I think I want one because we also have to change the roof. I don't know how we will look like with this kind of roof, you know.
slightly odd. But
slightly odd, right?
Yeah, it's quite. I probably shouldn't say it, but I don't think anyone lessons that are from Norway, but like my dad has a thing of building like small, especially up in the cabin, like it's a mountain sort of thing, and he just builds a lot of small cabins and stuff. Just that's just, you know, semi-retired man that likes to build stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think half the reason he uses torv on his roofs is his theory is that you can't see it from an aerial shot. Because so he makes a bunch of like small unconsented little things.
It's blended with grass from the soil.
There's his theory on
so
it.
So interesting. Yeah,
it's quite funny. So it's
a good point.
Wow. Yeah, amazing. So from roofs with grass to you know, building windows and making safety houses here in New Zealand. I was also interested of Norway culture here in New Plymouth. Do you meet other people from Norway, or are you interested in that? Because I know, like, in our family, like, my husband is not so much into German community, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's a man thing or is it a big community of Norways?
No, I don't think it's too many Norwegians in New Plymouth.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware,
mm-hmm.
I met one about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
And that's the only Norwegian person I met in New Plymouth. I don't really think Norwegians travel as much as many other places. So
yeah, all the cultures, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody says only good things about Norway, and everybody wants to live there. So yeah, I was thinking if this is something like for you, it's like it's not the rule. Like you're the exceptions of the rule that is traveling and wants to live somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's healthy to experience different countries and different places. So,
And we are always here. I mean, the three of us, we are making ourselves at home here, because we believe the same thing, you know. But like for me, because I'm from Romania, there are not so many Romanians here. Very little, because we are very much with our country and we love where we live and we like it. We like the culture and everything. But yeah, so I was very curious about you. How is for you, you know, to travel and live somewhere else, even though the people in Norway don't do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's... I think I inspired quite a few people, both friends and family, that sort of have branched out at some stage and then they come back again to Norway. Like I know my brother, he lived in Scotland for a while, and yeah, he definitely told me straight up that it's because I do what I do
really
that
nice.
He's like
that
yeah
sparked this out on them.
Wow, amazing.
And I think he had about 4 or 5 years over there. Mom and dad wasn't overly enthusiastic about it, obviously, but
parents always want to keep us
exactly
close.
Exactly. But yeah, so it's I think I like to at least think that I inspire some people to sort of move around a little bit more, do what
and
you want.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, Norway, it's a beautiful country and everybody has whatever they need there, right?
Definitely.
So that's why maybe people, you know, decide to stay there, not to move around, because obviously you have good education, right? Obviously the food is good.
Food's good, health
is good.
You have
meatballs.
Yeah.
Families there, right?
Yeah, it's definitely like it's quite hard to go away from something that's really comfortable.
Yes.
You know,
that's
always a a hard thing to do.
Has your family ever visited you here?
No. So they came to, mom and dad came to Australia, but yeah, not to New Zealand yet. But I think there is a boys' trip coming at some stage in the future. So
it's a big distance, right? It's like
it's a huge trip.
Yeah. How many hours is from Norway to here? Like, how many planes do you have to change?
Well, now we'd like to either fly to Slovenia or something like this, so sort of that gets another stop involved. But yeah, if you go as direct as you can, you're probably looking at 30 hours.
Whoa. 30, wow. Mm-hmm.
Same as Spain, more or less.
Spain, yeah, because yeah. Spain is also on that direction. Yeah.
Do
yeah.
you go through Qatar Emirates yeah. or through the US?
Okay, Qatar Emirates. Yeah, definitely.
Same. Yeah, same trip. I am yeah, doing yeah. this week. Where
are you going?
I am going this week. Nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, unfortunately for me, Clara is going for a trip for almost 6 weeks. I
yeah,
think.
Oh, I will amazing. Be away for 6 weeks. Yeah. So I will be listening to the program from the other side of the yeah. world, but then returning in September.
Perfect. Right. Yes. At start
yeah,
of spring.
Escaping a little bit of mm-hmm. the winter.
Yeah, I think yeah. it's a good idea, especially now it's started to freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? yeah, just mm-hmm. catching up with family and yeah. friends. Yeah.
And also, Clara, I'm very jealous because she goes to Disneyland.
Yeah, nice. I'm going to Paris and Disneyland yeah. with my niece that she's nice. 11. So
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Fun.
And yeah, where else will you go, Clara?
I am going to the north of Spain.
Yeah.
To a place called Galicia. I am going to the south of Spain where I was living for 10 years, which mm-hmm. is by the beach, Almeria, it's
nice.
Called. In a region called Andalucía. What else? I am going. And then staying in Madrid a little bit. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. eat a lot of paella.
Yeah.
Is it?
Eat a lot of paella, a lot of jamón. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of. Yeah. Cocidos soup, which is my favorite soup. My mom is already starting to prepare it for
oh,
me.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah, so that would be awesome.
Would be awesome. And yeah, looking forward to see pictures with Clara
yeah,
from
yeah,
Spain.
I will be sharing. And sharing pictures from the beach in like bikini, not in a wetsuit.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, right, because here you have to wear a wetsuit.
Yeah,
right?
Because here I still uh-huh. go to the beach and I still go in the water, but normally with a wetsuit or just like in and out, because it's like a cold dip that I know you also do, Alina, yes. winter dips.
Are you guys doing the winter swimming?
We are trying. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm trying. I was going Saturday for in the water, like, but only with my feet. You know, yep. and after I was going out, I was thinking, oh, I couldn't move my toes. Mm. But I see people who are going, like, you know, there without yeah. in the swimming suit, like in bikini.
Yeah. yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's cold. You can still do that, but I don't stay very long in the water, like perhaps yeah. like 5 minutes and it's
all. Oh, but that is long.
But is it like in Norway, I think people are doing this cold swimming, right?
Cold plunging and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
Did you do that or?
I'm not going to claim I'm a cold swimmer, but sort of like after having saunas and stuff, you always jump either in the snow or wearing like a frozen dam or something. So you sort of run out and smash that ice before you start the sauna and then have the sauna and just jump in and get out again. So.
Crazy. Yeah. So you smash the ice. So how do you smash the ice?
Just
with
like
a hammer?
Hammer or
oh,
axe
the hammer.
Or something, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you go inside
yeah.
that cold water.
Yeah, but like this is very in and out kind of thing.
Okay.
You know,
either way, you know,
yeah.
I couldn't go in and out.
In out, not 5 minutes.
Then straight to the sauna.
Yeah, then straight back into the sauna. Yeah.
Is it like a sauna culture, similar like in Finland?
Very much so. Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's pretty much most people would have like a holiday home, like a little cabin somewhere. That's quite a Norwegian culture kind of thing to do. And if you have one in the mountains, chances are there is a sauna in there because that's just how they're built.
Like private, like from your own house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just how they. Everyone sort
so you
of
build
I
a sauna in your
that
house.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yes, and are you into building saunas also or not?
I definitely have thought of it, but yeah, I don't necessarily have the finances to to make it happen right now. I wish, but yeah, one day.
Yeah,
there's a nice company in New Zealand. Well, we have one here,
the sauna
project.
Yeah,
they are all around
the
country. Yeah. And luckily, we have one in Plymouth too.
Yeah, they are moving around, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially now in the winter, you know, to go in the cold water and then in the sauna. It's amazing. I've
never
done it, but I would like.
Yeah. If you, I don't know when you went to Oslo, but did you see the floating saunas?
No,
okay,
I didn't.
So that's the thing that they have basically like a barge, and they have a sauna on it. And then it's like a it's like a plank, you can jump off the roof and stuff like this. So it's like
from the roof of the sauna, mm-hmm. you jump into the water.
Yeah, because the whole thing is like a floating one. Nice. And you just have a sauna. I think it's like a membership, like a gym or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have your sauna, you jump in the water, and then happy days. So
sounds really nice. Mm-hmm.
Happy days
like
if you can come out from the water.
And there is a lot of them. Like it's really, really popular. Yeah. So.
Oh, great! Mm-hmm. I've never tried it. Yeah, we should. Mm-hmm. And how is like? There are not sharks there, or
no.
Okay.
I mean, there's not. Not any dangerous ones.
Mm-hmm. Little ones.
Yeah, little
just
ones. I'm sure.
Just bite you like a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, just nibble.
Nibble.
Were you spearfishing over there already?
No. Okay. I was surfing. Okay. Yeah, so I was surfing. So when I was young and dumb, so I did like walk out on the ice before you jump in the water because that's when it's good surf really, and you have your like full hoodie and your gloves and your
and gloves and like with just like one for the thumb and
that's
the
one. Yeah.
I have only seen that on some documentaries or the surfing festivals, and when you see that and then you complain about the cold here, you think like, we shouldn't complain as much.
But now I complain about the cold here. So
So you're acclimatized.
Yeah, definitely acclimatized. I still remember like standing on the back of like my ute, and I was like trying to get my wetsuit off in like a snowstorm. And I'm like standing half naked on the back of this ute trying to drag my bloody wetsuit off my legs. And then just this woman in a Canada Goose jacket with like the fur around her hoodie and like gloves and everything else, was like she was walking her dog, and she just stopped and looked at me, and I'm just standing like naked on the back of my ute with like with a wetsuit down on my ankles and sort of frozen. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. We sort of exchanged looks, and I think she thought I was a little bit mad, but.
Is it like in Norway, when the babies are born, do you throw them in the snow?
Not throw.
That sounds like
we don't throw babies, but you know, we place them.
Place them. Do you place them in the snow?
I know they place like the strollers outside in the cold and all that kind of stuff. Just to acclimatize, yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
I think it's pretty normal. I'm pretty sure they did that with me when I was small.
Yeah, we did that also in Romania, but but in a stroller. But this is what I heard from the Nordic countries, that you place the babies in the snow
directly in the snow.
Maybe it's just a myth.
I haven't seen too many babies lying around in the snow to be perfectly honest.
Good for the babies.
Yeah. But I haven't looked for it either. So and as I said, I don't have kids, so I wouldn't know. But I'll ask my brother.
It's so interesting how every culture has their own thing. So like you put babies in the prams and outside in the cold, whereas in some countries they wouldn't let kids step out if they've taken a fresh shower unless their hair is completely dried. So you'll catch the cold. So I think it's so interesting and weird at times that like some wouldn't let their kids step out, whereas some would be like, no, we need to put our kids outside in the cold. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's immunities get built so differently. And
in Pakistan, do you have any traditions that you do with babies to like?
Oh, keep our babies covered even if it's so hot and warm. I think that was how I was when I had my first one. Like I was the first time mom, and even when it was warm and he didn't need so many layers, I would just layer him up because I'd be like, he'll catch cold from the ceiling fan also.
Yes. So,
but it takes time. And when we moved here also, my kids used to wear jackets in December as well. December, New Plymouth, December, it gets warm here.
It's warm, but still not super warm.
Yeah, and like jackets and beanies. And I would like, now when I think about it, I'm like, why did I do that to my kids? They're acclimatized now.
Yeah.
They go in shorts and shirts now.
Yeah.
So they're okay.
Kiwi style.
Yeah, always.
We're getting there. But yeah, it takes time and.
Takes time, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Makes sense, right? Mm. And each country is different. And I'm so amazed, you know, to learn now more about Norway. Because I think you are the first guest we had from Norway, so quite special show today.
I did see a Norwegian flag on the corner of Devon Street there.
Did you?
On one of the big like villas that's there, and I was like, oh yes, must be another Norwegian here. And then
did you knock on the door?
No, I was thinking of it because it was like 16th of May. And then 17th of May is the Norway's Nationality Day. So I was like, maybe I'll knock on the door that day.
Yes.
But then I think they had a South African flag or something that day. So I think they're just literally just changing flags in there.
so that they meet different people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we will ask around, maybe we find some Norwegians if you are interested to connect.
There's always, I think there's a few Norwegians around, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I have seen on the Norwegian in New Zealand website, Facebook page, that there is at least one or two.
Nice. So I think we have a few more minutes, and before we close the show today, so our last questions for our guest is, if there is somebody else who is moving from another country, what would you recommend them? And how should they make themselves at home here in New Zealand?
It's a good question. I think just sort of embrace yourself with like what the Kiwis do here, really, and sort of not forget where you're from, but sort of understand how they live life here and sort of the pace of life here, and sort of adapt to that more than trying to change it, because it definitely can be a little bit challenging sometimes to be a little bit more patient and understand that, like, okay, things here, they don't happen as quickly as they, for example, would in Europe, and for me that at least can be quite frustrating, but at the same time I'm like, well, it's kind of also the reason that I like New Zealand in the first place.
Because it's more relaxed.
Mm-hmm. So then you have to take account for like, it takes a few days extra to get your parcel sent from Auckland. Mm-hmm. But that's probably because the post guy stopped in Mokau for a surf. And that's okay.
And perhaps they have a better mental health, you know. And they are not so stressed.
And that's okay. That's his right to do so, you know. So you sort of just got to take the good with the bad, I guess. And
Wow, amazing. Yeah, it's a great great thing to know about New Zealand. I think that people are more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And also for us, like when we came here, we wanted to do things fast, but we never managed.
That's more frustration than what it's worth, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So we learned to be more relaxed, which is good.
Definitely. And also, before we go, if anyone wants to renovate the windows from their house, what's the name of your business and how they can get hold of you?
So the name of the business is Window Reno, and it's as easy as just Google us.
Hmm.
You find us pretty much everywhere.
Are you on Facebook and
Instagram?
We're
on Facebook. We're not on Instagram. I definitely should be, but I'm not too good with the old social medias, so.
we will put your website and your details.
And your number.
Perfect.
Whatever. On our social media.
Much appreciated.
We can do that for you.
Perfect, much appreciated.
Thank you so much, and thank you also, Amna, for being here first time and asking very interesting questions. I think you did great, and I'm looking forward to see you more as a co-host here.
Thank you.
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Thank God I passed the test.
Thank you for having me as well.
Yes, and have a good trip.
Thank you so much. Lara, I will miss you.
Yeah, we will miss you so much. And when you're in Disneyland, just think about us.
I will. I will send some pics.
Yeah, enjoy summer.
Enjoy summer so much. And thank you so much, Anders, again, for being here and being so authentic and being yourself.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to know more about you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, and see you next Monday, same time.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.